look at God's Word with me this morning, because it's reading God's Word that helps us to learn. Matthew chapter number 13. How many of you like fake things? Anybody like fake things? All right, no, I don't like fake things. How many like the real stuff? Amen, all right. We like people to be genuine. We like to be people who are really who they are. Salesmen that are fake. They'll tell you that you get into their dealership or you get into their wherever you're going and you're talking to them and they ask you a question about yourself and you tell them a little about yourself and then suddenly they become really religious. When they find out that I'm a pastor, they say, oh, well, I go to such and such church and I do this and I do that and everything else. It's amazing how religious people get when they start talking to me, especially salesmen. I don't like fake. I don't like people to be who they really aren't. See, I don't have to please you. You don't have to please me. One day we will answer to God for who we really are. One of the biggest questions that we've gotten, it's been going through our minds since all this pandemic has hit, is who is really a believer in Christ and who is fake? Who is really someone who has trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior and who are just simply fake hanging on? Well, Jesus addressed this situation here in Matthew chapter number 13, and he addresses it in two parables, and these two parables hit you right between the eyes. These are plain spoken. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He is very plain in what he says here. Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse number 24. Matthew 13, verse 24, it says, another parable put he, speaking of Jesus, put he forth unto them, talking to his disciples. And here's what he told his disciples. He says, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the plants were growing up, when it was sprung up, he brought forth the fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the household came and said unto him, sir, did you not sow good seed in the field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy has done this. The servants said unto him, will you then that we go and gather them up? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather you together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. The parable simply says this, listen. There was a guy to go out and planted his field. He planted good seed into the field. And as the day wore on and he got tired and he went to bed that night, him and all his workers, an enemy, someone who was against him, came out and sowed a bunch of weeds into the same ground. And the next day and the days followed, as the plant started to spring up, it became very apparent which was the wheat and which was the weeds. See, the wheat grows, it started about that high, about 18 inches, and as it grew up to about 18 inches, the weeds grow up about the same length, and they look just like the wheat. And so when you're looking at the field, you can't tell the difference, but eventually, it becomes very plain which is wheat and which is weeds. So it came time for harvest, and the workers came to the owner and said, listen, we're looking out on the field, and we see that there's a bunch of weeds amongst the wheat. Should we go out there and start tearing out and pulling out the weeds? And the owner very wisely says, no, don't do that. Let them both grow up together. Because when my reapers come, they're going to cut it all down eventually. And when they cut it down, it's going to be very easy to take the good wheat and put it in the barns, and it's going to be very easy to take the weeds and bundle them up and burn them. Let me show you another parable, and we'll come back and explain this one to you in just a second. Stay in the same chapter, go to verse number 47. Verse 47, another parable Jesus talks about just like this. He says, and again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. So all kinds of fish were gathered in this net, which when it was full, they drew it to shore, and they sat down, and they gathered the good fish into vessels, but they got rid of all the bad ones. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now, there's some things that we need to understand, some principles that Jesus is trying to teach us to understand. Number one principle is that there are always fake and real together. There's always real and there's always fake. Regardless of where you go, regardless of what you do, there's always the genuine and there's always the pretenders of who truth really is. They may look the same, they may smell the same, they may even dress the same, but eventually it's going to be revealed who it is. But number two, the second principle is this: it's not our job to weed them out. It's not our responsibility. I can't look at you and say you're saved or you're not saved. I can't look at you and say, yes, you're a child of God, you're not a child of God. Now, your fruit will oftentimes reveal that. In other words, how you live your life reveals that of itself. But I can't start going through the room and saying, well, I know, Brother Don, I know you ain't saved. I know you're married to someone who is, but you ain't. Now, you're offending me. See, it's not my job to do that. My job is to clearly tell the Word of God. Your job is to clearly tell the Word of God, and then let God at the end determine who's saved and not saved. See, that's the problem that we run into. We spend too much time judging people and not enough time loving people and telling them the truth. But here's something to consider. If you're playing the game, there's coming a time of judgment. I want to be very plain this morning with you about this. I cannot assume that everybody in this room and everybody who's listening via the internet versus Facebook or whatever, anybody who's paying attention to this message, I cannot assume that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I'm hoping you do, and I'm praying you do, but guess what? I can't answer that for you. Only you know the truth. And you can play the game, and you can smell the game, and you can read the game, and you can dress the game, but one day the truth will be revealed. And I want you so desperately to do this. I want you to ask God to examine your heart and say, God, am I a true believer? Am I really part of... See, the thing is, we really don't have to worry about that, because the Spirit comes to live inside of you, and He tells you if you're saved or not. If the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, there's no doubt Jesus Christ is your Savior. He reminds you. He chastises you. He teaches you. He guides you. But if you're living your life and there is no chastisement from God, if you're living your life and there is no guidance from God, if you're living your life and you don't do what God wants you to do, you might really want to check and see if you are a child of God. Because it's obvious to God who you are. See, because when the day of comes at the end of time, there's going to be a revealing. And that revealing is not going to be done by man. It's going to be done by God Himself. Now you say, Brother Brian, all those people who aren't coming to church, are you telling me that they're weeds? Absolutely not. All these people that are coming to church, Brother Brian, are you telling me that they're wheat? Absolutely not. But I'm telling you this. God knows the truth. He knows who is and who isn't. And if you're not sure, you need to make sure before the time comes that it's too late. Okay? So why did Jesus then use parables? Why did He use a parable to teach this? Well, let me show that to you. Stay here in the book of chapter 13, but I want you to go down to verse number 10. Jesus gives the reason why he uses parables. And we're going to go through this very quickly because I want to get to the point where I'm showing you where this comes from. Matthew chapter 13, verse number 10, Jesus answers his disciples. He says, "And the disciples came and they said unto him, why do you speak in parables? Why are you telling these stories?" Now, a parable is a spiritual story to illustrate an earthly truth or a godly truth. It's a story that he uses to illustrate. Verse number 11, he answered them and he said this, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that he has." So he says, in other words, you are with me, you hear me, you see me, and I'm revealing these to you, but there's people who don't. You can sit there and you can be taught the same thing, but you don't conceive it and you don't understand it. All right, how many of you ever wondered? You have a family and all the children are raised exactly the same way. Some of them follow God and some of them don't follow God. How many of you ever wondered about that? Why is that? I mean, they're taught the same thing. They grow up in the same household. They're loved the same way. But some of them just say, you know what? I want nothing to do with God. It's because of personal choice. We have a free will. I cannot emphasize this enough, brothers and sisters. God will not make you get saved. He will not make you trust him as Savior. He offers it. He makes it plain. But you have to personally choose salvation. My children are not going to heaven because their daddy's the pastor. My wife is not going to heaven because she's married to a fantastic, handsome, wonderful man. I'd like to meet him one day. But she's not going to heaven because she's married to me. She chose Jesus Christ as her personal Savior at a time in life when God spoke to her and drew her and she said, "Yes, I want Jesus to be my Savior." You must choose whether you go to heaven or not. You have to personally choose it, regardless of your age, regardless of who your family is, regardless of any kind of situation, you must choose. Now, children, look at me for a minute. Pay attention up here. Some of you have got your heads down. All the kids, look at me. 18 and younger, look at me for just a minute. Okay? I want you to hear this. Do not place your faith in Christ because you want to impress your mom and dad or because you want to make grandma and grandpa happy. Don't do that and say the prayer and fill a card out saying that I got saved and mom and dad are boo-hooing and crying and everything else, but you just said the words just to be saying them. Don't do that because that's dangerous. What you're doing is you're playing with your soul. Now, if you genuinely come forward and say, "I want Jesus Christ to be my Savior because the Holy Spirit drew you," and you said, "Yes, I want Jesus to be my Savior," fantastic. But I've met so many people who said, "When I was 6 years old or when I was 9 years old or 10 years old, I went down forward and I said a prayer and I signed a card," and I said, "Well, that's fantastic, but can you," and there's no other, nothing. There's no fruit, there's no nothing in their life. "Well, I said a prayer one time." Brothers and sisters, you can say all the prayers as you want to, but unless you place your faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, that prayer means nothing. Okay? Be saved because God drew you to be saved. Don't be saved because mom and dad want you to. See, my mom and dad didn't train me up in church. I didn't go to church. I had no religious upbringing whatsoever. And I could have easily gone to hell and blamed my parents for it. You say, "Well, no, you couldn't because it was your own choice." See, the same thing. You could grow up in a godly home and your parents could teach you all the godly things and you still go to hell because you chose to. Do not choose hell. Choose Jesus. Am I being plain? And y'all understand where I'm coming from here? See, so Jesus is talking to his disciples saying, listen, everybody has an opportunity. Then he says, look at verse number 13. He says, therefore, speak I to them in parables, because they see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. He says, listen, I'm giving them these truths, but they don't want to listen to them. It's very obvious of what I'm telling them, but their minds are blinded. Isn't that amazing that we're seeing that fulfilled in history right now? And we're seeing people do things and participate in things, and we're thinking to ourselves, are they blind? Do they not see the truth? And you know why they don't see the truth? Because they're spiritually blind and they don't want to see it. How many of you have known somebody who has grown up in church, heard the sermons, heard the words of songs and everything else over and over and over, and as soon as they turned 18, they split and never came back to church? How many of you have known somebody like that? Why? Why do they do that? Well, because their parents and because of the pastor and because... No, no. You know why? Because they chose not to listen and to hear. See, God's word is sharper than any two-edged sword. And if the word of God gets inside of you and the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you, you can't deny him anymore. It can't. I'm not talking about American Christianity. I'm talking about biblical discipleship. Amen? So Jesus is saying, listen, I've been doing all these teaching to the Jews. The Jews think that they're okay because they're Abraham's children, but in obvious fact, they're following the wrong religion. So let's do a test real quick. All right? How many of you believe that Jesus Christ was really born? You really believe that? All right? How many of you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? How many of you believe that? You mean honestly believe that? How many of you believe then that he died on a cross for your sins, taking your punishment? How do you believe that? And if you believe then that he rose from the grave and he's alive right now in heaven, how many of you believe that? How do you know? Well, Brother Brian, you've said it over and over, so I believe it. Uh-uh. Believe it because this says it right here. Now, if you believe those things, and you have asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How many of you believe that? Now, is that because you said it? No. It's right there. See, there's a lot of people who can say, I believe that Jesus was born, that I believe that Jesus died, I believe that he rose again. But they cannot say they've trusted Christ as their Savior because they don't want to. They get to that point and they stop. Brothers and sisters, don't get to the point where you say, no, I don't want Christ as my Savior, I'll take my chances. That's what the Jews were doing. They got to the point where they knew the Messiah was coming, but they did not believe that Jesus was him. And there's a lot of people who have died and gone to hell being religious, but never trusting Christ as their Savior. I remember doing a funeral one time in Kingsport. And this fellow I had witnessed to many times and talked to him about the Lord and told him about Jesus as I would see him and talk to him. And he died in a motorcycle accident. And the family called me and said, Brother Brian, won't you come do his funeral? Now, those are hard to do because you're not sure. And I get there, and the sister grabs a hold of me and says, please, tell me my brother's in heaven. I could not tell her he was or wasn't. Because I don't know what he said or didn't say away from me. I just know what he professed. He kept telling me this. I will one day. I will one day. So when I got up to do the sermon and I got up to preach the funeral, I did not say that I knew he was in heaven. I can't put anybody in heaven. I simply said this: if he placed his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior before he died, the Bible clearly says that he's in heaven. But I looked at his family and I said this: I can't tell you that. Now, were they happy with me? No. They weren't happy at all with me. But listen, here's the fact, brothers and sisters. Only you know if you really trusted Jesus Christ your Savior. Don't make a pastor or a preacher or a deacon, whoever, get up at a funeral and say, "Well, I wonder." Don't do that to your family. Because the fact is, you know the truth, and God knows the truth. Is that making sense? So Jesus would speak these parables, and he says, "Listen, I'm telling people these truths, but they're not listening because they don't want to hear it." Do you want to hear it? Or are you just ignoring it, hoping I shut up so that you can go home and get something to eat? See, the fact is, Jesus Christ could come today, return for his church, and if you don't know him as Savior, you're left behind. And I don't want that, and you don't want that. So what's our responsibility as a church then? What is our responsibility to warn and to tell? Well, let me show you. Go to Revelation chapter 3. We'll close with this morning. Revelation chapter 3. What is our responsibility then as a body of believers? Our responsibility is not to judge. Our responsibility is to tell. Revelation chapter number 3, verse number 14. Jesus is speaking. This is the last church of the seven churches. This is the last church age. And this is the church age that we are in right now. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 14. "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans," this is what John was writing. Jesus said, "Write these things, John." He says, "These things saith the Amen." The Amen is another word for Jesus. "The faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." He says, "I know your works, that they are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot." He says, "Listen, I know what you're doing, church. I know what you're doing. You're not hot and you're not cold. You're just lukewarm." How many understand that the church age right now is just lukewarm? We don't do anything. We want to come, not y'all, I'm talking about people who aren't here this morning. You want to come, hear a few little songs, hear a few little niceties from the pulpit, and go home unchanged. God, Jesus is telling John, write this to the church. Listen, that's not the way it ought to be. He says, verse 16, "So that because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spew thee out of my mouth." How many understand what it means to spew thee out of his mouth? It means, you notice I did it this way. Jesus says, "It's so disgusting to me, the way you are, the way it tastes, that I'm just going to spit it out of my mouth." "Because you say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and you know not that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." He says, listen, you've gotten to the point in your spiritual life where you tell God you don't need him anymore. And you tell God that you've got it made. You've got all the money. You've got the facilities. You got the people. You got the equipment. You got the instruments. You got everything you need. He says, listen, but the thing is, you don't realize just how wretched you really are spiritually. You've got all this stuff, but you've missed the boat on a relationship with me. He says, you're laying and resting upon the numbers on the church roll. You're laying and you're trusting upon the church buildings. You're laying and you're resting upon all the things that you have, but you've missed the boat because you've stopped believing and trusting me, he says. He says, you are poor, you are wretched, you are miserable, you are blind, and you're naked. And you don't even realize it, he says. I counsel thee to buy of me, to come to me, gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich, and white raiment, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and you anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. He says, listen, I'm begging you, come back to me. Admit to me that you done messed up. Admit to me that you've fallen away from me. Admit to me and repent and return to me. He says, church, the time for game playing is over. It doesn't matter the type of music we play. It doesn't matter the length of time we pray. It doesn't matter whether we fellowship or not. Those things are good and they're superficial. What matters is, what do we do with the Word of God? How do we respond to the Holy Spirit? That's what matters. And I'm afraid that the church, not y'all, okay? I'm afraid that the church has raised a bunch of weeds and called them wheat. And when the time comes, there's going to be people who are going to be saying, but God, I was a member. But God, I got baptized. But God, my grandma did this. But God, my daddy was the pastor. But, and God's going to say, depart from me, for I never knew you. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the Bible way. You must believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's it. Baptism comes after that. Church membership and all that is good. But you must trust Christ as your Savior. So let me ask you a question this morning. Consider this thought process in your mind. Are you real or are you just posing? Are you really weak or are you just a weed that one day is going to be exposed? It's not too late. You know why I know it's not too late? Because you're here. God has given another chance. Do you belong to Jesus Christ? Now, I'm not trying to scare you, and I'm not trying to make you make an emotional response, but if that's what it takes, I'll do it every day. You know me. I'm not an emotional kind of fellow that tries to get you to do something based upon emotions, and I don't want you to respond to me. But brothers and sisters, the day of judgment's coming. It's going to be very real. Where's your soul going? To heaven? Or is it going to a place that was not created for you? That's the only question that matters right now. Are you saved or are you not? Are you wheat or are you a tare? Let's stand together this morning. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I just want you to stand. I'm not going to have a come forward invitation because of COVID-19. I understand these protocols, and I'm not going to jeopardize anybody's health. But I want you to bow your heads and you close your eyes, and I want you to consider this question. Honestly, please. I want you to seriously consider this question. Is Jesus Christ really your personal Savior? Consider that. Or are you just posing like it? I've read to you what the Bible says happens to those souls that do not trust Christ as their Savior. I've read it to you. Do you want to be part of that burning? Or do you want to be part of the celebration in heaven, seeing Jesus Christ face to face? A serious time right now. Serious time. So let me ask you a question. Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking. I want to ask you this question. How many of you would say, Brother Brian, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Would you just raise your hand? I'm not sure. Would you pray for me? I'm not going to embarrass you or come to you. I'm just going to pray for you. Brother Brian, I'm not sure. Anybody like that at all? Nobody's looking but me. All right. So my next question would be then this. What are you doing so that others may know Christ as their Savior? Are you spreading the word? Are you loving? Are you exampling it? I believe the time of Christ's return is right now. It's soon. Could be today. Judgment day's coming. Are you ready for it? Heavenly Father, you know our hearts. Lord, you know exactly who we are. There's no fakeness in your eyes. You know who belongs to you and who doesn't. But Lord, you said that you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You don't want anybody to go to hell. But Lord, if there's somebody in this room that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, your word also clearly teaches us that that's their eternal damnation if they do. And I would ask you, God, right now, if there's somebody in this room that's not sure of their salvation, that today be the day they would make sure. They would place their faith in Jesus Christ. They would pray the simple prayer saying, God, please forgive me of my sins. Please, God, I want Jesus Christ to save me. I'm asking Him and Him alone to save my soul. And if they'll simply pray that prayer and believe it in their heart, your word says that they shall be saved. So, Father, please, you do what's got to be done. You do the drawing. You're the only hope we have, God. In Christ's precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, please be seated again for me.